Ask and ye shall receive. October 20th, 1905. Christ has given us the gracious invitation and the assurance, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. This assurance is made doubly sure by repetition. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 8. That we may better realize our privilege in coming to him in prayer, the Savior continues, Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verses 9 to 11. What a lesson is this for all the members of the family circle. Claiming this promise, all may come to the Lord in faith and present their petitions in humility. Are these words of our Lord to be treated with indifference? Why wait for further evidence? Why not honor him by believing his words? Why should anyone send letters to another who is far away, seeking for advice and counsel, when the mighty counselor declares that he that asketh, receiveth? Verse 8. Of the faithfulness of Christ's promises, Paul declares, The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19-20. The words of Christ mean exactly what they say. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7, verse 7. Let us not insult our Redeemer by doubting or disbelieving his positive assurances. Because of our fearfulness to trust God, we have failed to reveal to the world a perfect faith. If we carry to others our burdens and complaints, we ourselves receive no help, and their peace of mind is often destroyed. Shall we now turn over a new page in our experience and work and rejoice as true Christians? God's purpose for Israel. From Sinai, in awful grandeur and majesty, God proclaimed to the hosts of Israel his law. It was his purpose that by obedience to his commandments, Israel would stand before all the nations of the world as exemplifying the principles of true righteousness. They were to be as a model of what his church should be. Through Israel also, God desired to demonstrate the advantages to be received in conforming to the principles that governed the hosts of heaven. He was to be to them a physician of soul and body. He would bestow upon them health and prosperity, and they were to be honored and exalted above all other nations. The inhabitants of this world are now on trial. Everyone will be tested in his allegiance to the Lord God. Those only who obey the laws of heaven will receive the welcome awaiting the loyal and true, who by a life of obedience exalt the law and make it honorable. These will have an abundant entrance into the future immortal inheritance and the eternal weight of glory. The mission of Christ. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 42, verse 1-8. Christ Jesus came to our world as the great physician to bring to those under the curse of transgression the needful restoration of soul and body. At infinite sacrifice, he came to help us in our weakness. Had Christ come to this world in all the glory of his divinity, man could not have endured the sight. But he veiled his glory and assumed the nature of man. From childhood to manhood, he successfully withstood every temptation of Satan. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Thus he demonstrated that man need not perish in sin and transgression.
O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah 40, verse 9-10. With the majesty of an omnipotent king, our Savior unites the gentleness and tender care of a shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Verse 11. Of the attributes of his character, the prophet declares, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. We have every reason to look unto Jesus in confidence, to have an increase of faith in the word of him who has purchased us with his own blood.